This morning, and stand amazed this morning in your presence. Well, Joe, things that he presented to us this morning, for him to figure that out in a week, he's a much faster learner than I am. I remember years ago struggling with those areas in Matthew 24 and not understanding it, and I asked Elder Clifford Goins about it, and he straightened me out. Exactly the way Brother Joe preached it this morning, and even gave me a word document that he and Elder Mike Montgomery put together that had the Matthew, Mark, and Luke account all together where you could better understand it. And I'm amazed. This was wonderful to sit and listen to hear. You know, Brother Joe, I'm thankful he came our way this morning, and he's not always able to be here, but the Lord is with him when he's away from us. For him to be able to study the context the way he does, that'll serve you well, Brother Joe. And understanding the Bible is, if you look in the context, it'll all teach you what the Word of God tells you. And to already be doing that so well like you are is a great blessing to us to sit here and hear that this morning. And we thank God for that. If you'd like to turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13, I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture remaining time we have. In Zechariah chapter 13, and that one verse that we'd like to look at is verse 1. Zechariah 13, verse 1. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Now, this text is teaching us about a day, a particular day. We sang a song this morning, "Oh happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away." In that day, that's the day we're talking about here, there's going to be a fountain opened up. How do we know that's the day? Because a fountain is a spring of water that comes out of the ground. It's a fountain. That's the way the Bible describes it. We today typically say spring. But a fountain is opened, and this fountain that is opened is for sin. If he had just said uncleanness, we could have argued that this is just a fountain of water. But this fountain is for sin and uncleanness, teaching me that this is not your typical everyday fountain. This is a fountain that is, as he says here, for the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We say, well, that's not for us, right? It is for us. Notice the house of David. Who is the house of David? When I think of the house of David, I think of that royal lineage. David is the king of Israel and his sons, and how Jesus himself was of the lineage of David. But you realize this morning, you're of the lineage of David? Because if Jesus is of the lineage of David, if he's of the house of David, and you've been brought into his family, then you're the house of David too. House of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know, there's more than one Jerusalem declared in the Bible, and I believe that this is a description of us as God's people. This fountain is open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and it's for sin and for uncleanness. Now, I'm going to submit for your consideration this morning that this fountain is not just water. I believe it is water, but I believe it contains something else. And I believe what it contains is also blood. This fountain is the blood of the precious Son of God. If you back up to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, notice what God says in the 10th verse of Zechariah 12. He says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem," same group of folks, "the spirit of grace," grace. We sang Amazing Grace this morning. Do we trust in and cling to God's amazing grace? God says, "I'm going to pour upon you the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." You know, this text was quoted in the New Testament when Jesus was crucified, and says that when the Roman centurion stuck that spear into Jesus' side and out came blood and water, This text was quoted. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now notice, God says they'll look upon me. Jesus was not just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. They will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, as you can tell, my whole family's not here this morning. Cody is sick. He's been pretty sickly for the past couple of weeks. And I had a terrible thought during the night. I don't know if I was dreaming or if I was waking up or what. And the thought was that he passed away. I'm thankful to tell you all this morning he did. He is going strong at the house. He's running fever, so we thought it was best for him to stay at home. But I had that thought. And I thought, how could someone get past something like that? How can someone go another day? Here he's saying, they'll mourn for me. They'll mourn for Jesus as if you're mourning for your only son. Now, you put that in your perspective. How would you mourn for the loss of your child? You know, I have to commend it, Brother Ricky and Brother Mickey. They came here and preached Brother Wayne's funeral. When my dad passed away, I would not have been able to do that. I still don't believe I'd have been able to do that. But I know I could not preach my son's funeral. I know I couldn't do that. But he says, they'll mourn for me like you're mourning for your only son. You put that in your perspective. Here we are thinking about Jesus, the Son of God. And it'd be one thing if an animal had suffered and died for our sins. But that's not what happened. Who suffered and died for our sins? The Son of God did. And you think about, you know, the songs we sing, our song. Well, I know some people don't like the minor tunes and all of that. I do because it reminds me it was my sins that brought our Savior to the cross. It's my sins that condemned Him. It's the chastisement of my peace that was put upon Him. And I tell you, I mourn and grieve for that. Each day that I sin, I tell you, I think about it, we're not just violating God's law anymore. We're sinning against the Lamb of God because we know better. We know He suffered for our sins. Why would we continue to sin? And yet I do. And yet I do. And I mourn for that. I mourn what happened to our Lord. But I'll tell you, a fountain was opened up when He died. A fountain was opened up, and that fountain is visibly described for us when that spear of the Roman centurion pierced His side. Out came blood and water. Now, why is that significant? Turn me to John 19. In John chapter 19, John says, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, this is verse 34, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now notice verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, thou shalt look on him whom they pierced. Now, John goes to great length to tell you, I'm telling you, I saw blood and water come out of his side. Why would he go to great length to do that? You know, when you die, your blood and, you know, blood and water does not mix. And so, as long as your blood's flowing in your veins, everything's fine. But when you die and that flow stops, the blood and the water separates. And so John is telling you, I am telling you, I saw that he died. He died. Now why is that important to us this morning? Because if he didn't die. You know, I want you to think about those of you who have your house in order. You have a last will and testament, I suppose, you've written somewhere. Does that document mean anything while you're alive? Nope. But if you die, it does mean something. It goes into effect. Hebrews chapter 9 says, where there is a testator, there must also be the death of the testator. Jesus died. And so His testament was put into effect. I'll tell you, Jesus declared, it is finished. A fountain came out. A fountain for sin and uncleanness. A fountain for you and I. A fountain where we are washed and clean in this fountain. A fountain of blood and water. And not just any water. Turn me back. Let's go back to Zechariah chapter Let's go to 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And now notice what he says here very quickly in verse 8. And it shall be in that day. Still talking about the same day. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Consider this morning. People say, well, how do people, the Old Testament, how do they go to heaven? Jesus hadn't suffered and died yet. Those animal sacrifices do the trick? Not according to Hebrews 10. It says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. How do they go to heaven? Well, do you have a mortgage? I do. How am I living in my house? I don't own it. Well, bank's got faith and trust, as long as I'm making payments, that I'm eventually going to pay the debt off of that mortgage. I'll tell you, there is faith that God has in the precious blood of Jesus Christ before it's even shed, that it'll take away the sins of even those in the Old Testament. But this text tells us that when this fountain comes out of living waters out from Jerusalem, half of them go to the former sea, Old Testament, and half of them toward the hinder sea, those sins that hadn't even been committed yet. I'll tell you, this is a precious fountain we have. A fountain that Jesus Himself, the precious blood of Jesus and the living waters. You know, God declares in Jeremiah 2:13 that He is the fountain of living waters. One other text and we're going to close. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 says this. This is a text I discovered this morning. And I'll tell you, it's a good one. Psalm 36, he says this in verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Now think about this for a moment. In God is the fountain of life. Where does life spring from? From God. You know, there's a lot of scientists that are analyzing and studying a bunch of things. They're getting a lot of knowledge, I would say. But the one thing they're lacking is the knowledge of where life comes from. Where does it come from? I'll tell you, it comes from God, and Him is the fountain of life. And where does eternal life come from? Well, if you go to 1 John chapter 5, there are three bearing record of something in heaven. And what they're bearing record of is that you have eternal life. And God is the fountain of life. In His light shall we see light. You remember that text over in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9? It says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then he says, in verse 10, he says that we, life and immortality, is brought to light through the gospel. Now consider this morning, in God's light, we have light. How does Brother Joe know those things and understand those things that he's presented to us this morning? Because God's given him light, that's how. In the light of God, that's how we have light. We can't sometimes always go to someone else for help, but I'll tell you who can help you all the time is God. You want light, you want understanding, you don't want to be in ignorance. In God's light, that's where you find it. I'll tell you, He is the fountain of life. He is the solution to all our problems. And He's the one that gives us the knowledge that we stand in need of. I thank you for your attention this morning.